Exodus chapter 3, verses number 10 through 12. Exodus number 3, verses 10 through 12. That'll be the passage that we'll be going through throughout this sermon. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not there, say oh me. Oh me. Oh me. You gotta practice the sword drill. So, while you guys are there, I just want to quote Luke 1:37. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And really, God wants to do something impossible this week. But God wants to do that through us. So I just want to preach a message simply entitled, Mission Impossible. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for everything that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for your word and for the encouragement it is to each and every single one of us, Lord. Thank you that that even though the devil, Lord, throws lies, Lord, and deceits our way, Lord, that we can always have your word to come to, Lord, and to know the truth. And God, I pray that you would really help us to understand your word, Lord, this passage, Lord, and different passages throughout the Bible. And I just pray that you would strengthen our faith. I pray that you would strengthen each disciple, Lord, every believer here. And that you just really prepare us for the great week that we're going to have. And God, I pray for your power as I preach. Lord, it is your spirit that quickeneth, Lord. The flesh profiteth nothing, Lord. And you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, God. And I pray that you'd help me now as I preach your word to just be accurate, Lord, and be an encouragement and a blessing to these people here. And God, I thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it was until a few decades ago that nobody broke through the 4-minute mile barrier. It was not until a certain time that people broke the 1-minute mile barrier. And let me actually get this thinking. Oh, actually, sorry. It's fine. And you know what? Broke through the 4-minute mile barrier. And you know what? Everyone thought it was impossible. The whole world, up to that time, nobody had broken through the 4-minute mile barrier, as I said. And even scientists had made experiments to prove that it was not able to be done. People thought that you simply could not run that distance in that amount of time. But there came one man who refused to believe, a young man that refused to believe the skeptics' lies. He refused to go with what the crowd thought. And he started training harder than he had ever trained before, believing that he was going to be able to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. The record right behind him was 4-1. And for 9 years after that record, no one even got close to 4 minutes. But Roger Bannister was his name, trained and trained and trained, believing he was going to be able to do it. And one day, he went out and he ran a mile, and it was timed, and the stopwatch said, 3 minutes and 59 seconds. You know what's really interesting? That after that moment, from that day, which actually around the 1960s, right now, hundreds of runners have broken through the 4-minute mile barrier. People have noticed that the reason people couldn't do it was because they didn't believe that they could. They thought it was impossible. And you know what? God wants to do something impossible through our lives this week. God wants to use us this week to do the impossible. And you know what? The devil's going to start putting in our brains, and the devil's going to start sending fiery darts our way, and he's going to start saying that you can't do this. It is impossible. People, or maybe even different discouragement coming from very many, many different avenues and many different ways, will come in towards your mind and start telling you that this is impossible. How can the Church of Jesus Christ today go against the world and go and preach the gospel? And how can people be saved in a day and age like this, in a place called Ireland, in this place called Cork? How can that happen? That's impossible. You know what the Bible says? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You know, the Bible says that there is nothing too hard for God. The Bible says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, in Matthew 11:22-23, for verily I said unto you, say Jesus, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, get up and be thou cast out into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall be so, it shall be done even as he saith. You know what? We can believe, not based on what we can do, but based on what God can do through us that we're going to have a great week this upcoming week. That God's going to do wonderful, impossible things. You know what, really? The salvation of a soul is a miracle. The salvation, someone turning from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, that is a miracle from God greater than creation. God created everything, ex nihilo, from nothing, absolutely nothing. You know what God does when God takes a sinner and saves him and changes his whole eternity? You know what God does when He translates someone from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light in His dear Son? He is taking not just nothing and making it a good thing. He's taking something that is wicked and corrupt, and He's making it right and just before His eyes when He saves them. And you know what? That is a miracle. That is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And we just want to look at this passage of this person called Moses. This person called Moses that we are actually a lot like. And we just want to see what God commanded him to do and what God's commanded us to do and what he thought about that. So we want to look at verse number 10. Verse number 10 says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So we see, first of all, in verse number 10, we see God's command. We see God's command to Moses. Now, most of you know the story. There's the burning bush. Moses is walking by and he sees the burning bush by the wayside. And obviously, it is not wasting away. It is there and it's burning, but it's not wasting away. He comes and he's interested and he goes towards it. And God starts having a conversation with Moses. He takes off his sandals from his feet because God says it is holy ground. And he walks and God keeps talking over to Moses. And it gets to this point where God commands Moses and he says two things that we can look at. He says, "Come to me." He says, "Come close to God. Come to me." And then he says, "And I will send thee." We need to see, first of all, that our responsibility as Christians, our mission, first of all, is to come close to God. It's to draw nearer to God. And that's our first responsibility. And I just want to encourage you all throughout this week to stay in prayer. To stay close to God. You know what? We can know for sure that our prayers are on a biblical basis when we are praying for souls. The Bible says in 1 John 5, verse 14, it says, And we know that whatsoever we shall ask according to His will, we shall have the petitions that we ask Him. And you know what? It's basically saying that if you know it's God's will, the Bible says it, then you can pray for it and know that God is going to answer. And we know that God is all about saving souls. We know that God is all about bringing people to Jesus. And you know what? Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, it says, who would have all men to be saved and come to the acknowledgement of the truth. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, God who would not have any perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it is God's will this week for people to be saved. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, it says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. And the Lord's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. God is still able to save in this age. God is still able to save. But you know what? It is up to us as Christians to pray for that. It is us as Christians for pray. It's our responsibility to pray that God would work in people's hearts and that God would convict those people of their sins, that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And God, He says to Moses, He says, first of all, come now, therefore. He says, come closer, get closer to me. And Christian, this week we have such an opportunity to draw close to God. We have such an opportunity to draw close to God so that He can use us to reach others. And you know what? A lot of times in ministry, what may be holding us back is our own relationship with God. You know, like I said in Isaiah 59, verse 1, it says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear." But the Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 59, it says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. The Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And you need to understand that this week, if you want to serve Jesus Christ, you need to draw close to Him. You need to start rejecting some sins in your life and start praying and getting closer to Jesus, because our first responsibility is not going out and serving others. The first commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And we need to draw close to Jesus this week. And we need to draw close in prayer. And we need to maybe reject some things that need to change in our life. Reject those things and draw closer to God this week so He could use us. So we see, first of all, God's command was to get close to Him. But He didn't just leave it there. He said, go to others. He says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Send thee unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring the that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. He didn't just leave it at come close to me. He says, come close, and I will send. There was this man. He was having a dream. This man was having a dream, and in his dream there was this huge cloud. He was in this huge cloud, and he was walking around in this huge cloud. Everything was a haze. And he was walking around, and he saw something on a distance. And he started getting closer and closer, and he noticed that what that thing was actually a cliff. And he was very intrigued, and he got closer and closer to that cliff. And he started seeing dots, and as he started getting closer, he started looking at what it looked like, ants. And he got closer, and what he actually saw, that there were people on top of that cliff pushing each other every which way. And as they were pushing each other, not knowing what they were doing, people were actually falling off the cliff and falling into this great fire. And the man stood there and he just looked around and he said, won't anybody do anything about this? How can all these people be dying and nobody's trying to help them? And he sees this man through the corner of his eye, on the corner of his eye, he sees this man sitting far away. And he says, what could this man be doing sitting there at a time like this? He gets closer to the man to talk back to him, to rebuke him about letting all those people die. And he gets closer to that man, and gets closer and closer, and he sees that that man is reading a book. And he says, a book? How could he be reading a book at a moment like this? And on the tree stump that the man was sitting on, that he was going towards was sitting on, it said, waiting for God's will. And he got closer and closer, and he noticed that the book that the man was reading was actually a Bible. He says, how could this man be reading a Bible when all these men are falling off the cliff and going to this huge fire? And he got closer and closer, enraged and more enraged as he got closer and closer. And he tapped the man's shoulder, and he turned around, and as soon as their faces met, the man woke up. That man was him. And you know what? We can try to get as close to God and say we're as close to God as we think we are. And we can say that we're trying to serve Jesus and we're doing so many things for God and think that we're completely right with God. But if we're right with God, we should be going to tell others. Jesus Christ has said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And you know what? We have such an opportunity this next week to get close to God and to follow His command that says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We have such an opportunity in preaching, in helping with the organization, in helping with the snacks. Every single one of us can be a part of what God is going to do this upcoming week, and we have such an opportunity to serve. And you know what? You could either do that, or you could be sitting down. Or you could be sitting down, or you could be soul winning. Or you could be helping reach other souls. And you know what? We have such an opportunity this week to follow God's command. To get close to Him and to go to others. And we see, second of all, we see in verse number 11, said, Moses said unto God, who am I? And this shall, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Okay, so we see Moses, God's command already came. Come close to me and I will send thee. But Moses, he sees God's command, and guess what he thinks? He doesn't think about God's capability and God helping him. He thinks about his incapability. He thinks about how I can't do this. Who am I? We see, you know, really Moses had could have a lot of reasons to say these words. He could have had many, many reasons to say these words, but one reason that we could say is just his past. Moses at this time is a shepherd outside of Egypt because in Egypt he murdered someone. Moses was a murderer. He was a murderer and he was a sinner just like you and just like me. And when God called him, that was his state. He was a runaway murderer. And God called him and said, get close to me and go to others. So maybe that's why Jesus says, who am I? And I just want to say, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter what sin you've committed, or how deep in sin you have been in your past. As soon as you're saved, you are completely forgiven of your past, present, and future sins, and you are able to be used by God now. Now, you might not be able to be a pastor because of some sins. You might not be able to be in a certain position, but every single one of us can serve. Every single one of us can soul win. Every single one of us can be used of God greatly to do impossible things. Things that nobody would ever imagine we could do. So maybe this is one thing that Moses is thinking. Maybe it's just, oh, I can't do this because of my past. And really, that is not a real reason. Because God can use you in spite of your past. Some people have approached this passage and they think, okay, when Moses is saying, who am I? He's really like being humble. He's just trying to be humble. And he's bringing up his humility before God. Where really, when God says, go, and I will be with you, as he says in the next verse, when he says go, when he commands you to go, and you say, who am I? It is a spit to the face of God. Because what you are saying when you say, who am I to do this, is saying that God is not able to help me do this. Saying that God is telling me to do something that I could never do. And it's a disrespect to God to say you can't do something that he explicitly told you to do. So maybe Moses was thinking this. Maybe he was thinking, my past. I just can't do this because of my past. Or maybe he might be thinking about his present capability. Later on in chapter 4, he says, I can't. I have a lisp. I have a speaking problem. I have a speaking problem. And he says, I can't go and do this because of this problem that I have, because of my present capability. I just can't do it. And you know what? It's not about your capability. It's about what God can do through you. There was this man, he was actually an evangelist, and he was visiting a church. There were some preacher boys there, people who were getting prepared to preach. And there was three preacher boys that preached in that mini conference. It was really a service. Every preacher boy preached like 15 minutes. And the first college student preached, the second college student preached, and the third one came up and he had a stuttering problem. He had a lisp. And everything he would say, it would come out like he would repeat it. It would be like, I have a message. Just like that throughout the whole message. And this evangelist was there listening to all three sermons. And when they got to the person with the list, he took out his notes and he said, if this man is going to go through all this trouble and all this effort to say this to me, I'm going to write this down. This is going to be good. And that preacher boy who was called by God to preach in spite of his lisp, in spite of his stuttering, he preached and God moved. And he finished the sermon with these words. He said, if I fall, pick me up. If I falter, push me on. But if I ever quit, shoot me. Amen. And all the evangelists could do was shout out and say, amen. So, you know what? It doesn't matter what kind of capability you have. What actually happened in the future is that same guy who had a lisp, that same guy who had a stuttering problem, actually became a pastor. And what he would do is he would memorize his sermons, and with God's help, he would do it completely without a list. And he would not stutter at all. And God has used him in a great way. And this man, he might have said, God can't do this. God can't use me. Who am I? Who am I with this stuttering problem? Who am I with this capability, with this incapability? But you know what? God could use you anyways. You know what? There's people that have no stuttering problem. There's people like you and I that have perfect health, that have great abilities, that have great talents, and they're not using it for Jesus. And then there's some people that are struggling and they have to work on it and they have to do really, really hard work, and they do the best they can and they trust in God and they're mightily used. And there's some people that they have a wonderful voice and they don't use it to sing for Jesus. They have a wonderful dialect and grammar and they can talk well and they can connect with others and they have great influence, but they don't use it to soul win. Or they don't use it to reach others for Jesus. They just use it for themselves. And what God wants to say is that, you know what? In spite of your incapability, you can still be used. You can still be used of God. Now, I'm not saying in the future. I'm not saying this upcoming, week. I'm not saying in 2 or 3 years. I'm saying tonight, and I'm saying tomorrow, and I'm saying in the next few days. You can be used of God to reach another soul for Jesus. You can be used by God to do the impossible. And we see in verse 11, we see Moses, he cries out and he said, it's my incapability. It's my incapability. We see in verse number 12, thirdly, we see God says, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. So we see, first of all, God says here, he says, certainly I will be with thee. We have God's command. We have Moses saying that he's incapable, but we see that God is capable. We see God's capability. We see that God can do what we cannot do. You know what's the big changing factor? You know what's the big factor in this equation of doing this impossible? It's not us. It's these words. Certainly I will be with thee. You know what Matthew 28:18-20, the Great Commission, telling us to make disciples around the whole world. Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And in the last verse, in the last phrases of that passage, it says, for lo, I am with you always. Amen. You know what? That's the game changer. That's what changes everything. It's not our capability. It is God's presence with us. It is God's enablement. That's what changes things. We can't do the impossible, but the Bible says, but with God, all things are possible. And we see in verse number 12, really God is emphasizing that it is only Him that can do this through Moses. There was this boy, he wanted to build a clubhouse. In the States, I don't know if they have it here, they have tree houses. They build houses and trees made out of wood. That might be completely ridiculous here. But they build houses in trees made out of wood, and the kids, they get a ladder and they climb up on it and they play around in the tree house, you know, throw things at people, things like that. So this kid, he knew about tree houses and he wanted a tree house in his backyard on one of the trees. So he came to his So he went to the library and he checked out a book on how to build tree houses. And he got that book and he saw different tree houses diagram there. And he took that book and he rented it from the library and he took it with him to his house. And he showed it to his dad. He says, Dad, I have this book. I'm going to be able to build a tree house now. And the dad's there. He's reading the newspaper. He's like, oh, okay. All right, go ahead. And the boy goes outside and he goes into the shed and he takes out a 2x4 piece of wood, and he takes out a hammer and a nail. And he looks at the instructions and says, okay, let's do this. And he goes over to the tree, he goes over, gets the nail, puts it on the tree. He gets the wood and he realizes that he's supposed to put the nail on the wood, on the tree. So he gets the hammer, takes it off. Anyways, long story short, an hour and a half later, there is a huge mess on the tree. It is not a clubhouse. It is a bunch of wood stuck on a tree. And does not look anything like the picture. So he comes and he starts crying. He's a little kid. He goes to his dad, and his dad's there. His dad's actually still there in the living room. And he goes, "Dad, Dad, I try to do it, but I can't do it. I can't do this. I can never do this. I just wanted the clubhouse." Okay, and then whatever, crying or whatever, how kids do. And then he comes and he goes to the dad, and the dad says, "Okay, all right, how about this, son? I have some free time now. How about we do this together?" And he goes out to the same shed, and the dad takes a 2x4, and the son takes the nail and the hammer. And what the dad does is they approach the tree, and what happens is that they approach the tree, and the dad puts the wood against puts the first piece of wood against the tree, and he takes his son's right hand, and they get it around the hammer, and he takes the nail, and they start slowly building a beautiful treehouse. And you know what? Because the son couldn't do it by himself, but with his dad's help, they were able to do it. And you know what? That's the game changer. It's God's hand with us. Isaiah 41, verse 13 says, fear not, for I am with thee, and I will sustain. No, by Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says, fear not, for I am with thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then Isaiah verse 41, verse 13 says, for I will hold thy right hand, saying, I will help thee. You know what? When we decide to do what God commands us to do, and we realize that we can't do anything in ourselves, and we just trust God and do what He says, He can do great things through our life. He can do miracles through us. And the question is, do you want to see God do the impossible? Do you want to see God do something great this upcoming week? Even after the week, ongoing throughout your life, the game changer will be whether or not you're going to obey God's command and whether you're going to trust Him to do what you cannot do. So really, fulfilling Mission Impossible is by knowing that God can do the impossible through us. Let's pray.